Welcome into episode 2 of The Sports Page. I am the host, Paige DeMacos, here with my guest, a weekly guest every Thursday doing all things NFC matchups, and that is Jake Arians. Jake, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited.
And we're doing the AFC today. If you are wanting the NFC preview, you can go on FanRagSports.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find us there as well. You can find The Sports Page. It'll be a little bitmoji of a little looking like Cubs fan. That's me. And then Jake looks like he's spiking a ball. I think that's what you're doing.
In a suit.
Yeah. It really.
Classed up the joint a little bit. Put a suit on.
Honestly, it really reflects Jake.
Sure.
It's a perfect bitmoji for him. So we're going to do the AFC East and the AFC North. So I'll start with Buffalo. Where do we start with Buffalo? Okay, I like Tyrod Taylor a lot. He has struggled thus far in the preseason, and it kind of seems like the organization is trying to make things harder on him when they take away his number one asset in Sammy Watkins that they traded away. So what is your assessment of what's going on in Buffalo?
If you like Tyrod Taylor, you're probably going to like him on a different team next year. When you trade Sammy Watkins and Ronald Darby, you get the draft picks. Their 2018 draft is looking fantastic, but it looks like to me they're building for the future. Sean McDermott, new coach, new GM. I think they're trying to get a little bit more stable organizationally and build for the future based off next year's draft. You got 4 superstar quarterbacks potentially coming out in that draft, and it really looks to me like that's what they're building for. They still have some pieces here and there, but I'm not expecting a whole lot from Buffalo. I think it's another basement, well, almost basement in the AFC East. Definitely not the basement, but it's just not going to be – a really exciting year. I don't think they're going to be in a ton of games either.
Okay.
You know, a lot of these teams, I'm maybe saying they're 6-10, but they're in a lot of games. I just don't think they're going to be able to pull it out. I don't know if that's the case. Last year, they were really good. They were in a lot of games. I just don't think they can recreate that.
Well, their defense was pretty good last year. So, I mean, and the Cardinals saw that firsthand. I don't think they bring back that same defense that they had, and their biggest asset is Shady, and LeSean McCoy. What do you see from him, and does that give them enough dynamically offensively? Because other than him, you have some pieces wide receiver-wise, but nothing to really help Tyrod Taylor.
Shady's as dynamic as it gets. But
yeah,
the offensive line has to play as good as they've played in the past, which they have sent in guys to the Pro Bowl. I don't know if that happens. They don't have anybody really to take the top off the defense anymore. You lost 2 speed guys. Robert Woods is gone. You lost him in the slot as a possession guy. You get Jordan Matthews back, who's solid, but he's not a superstar, and he's not really taking 2 guys to defend. So Shady's still kind of the identity of that team, and he's explosive, but I just don't see them putting up a lot of points.
We'll move on to the Miami Dolphins. My boy Jay Cutler is back in the NFL, and he's with Adam Gase. As a Chicago Bears follower, his best year was with Adam Gase.
He moves. Got him the job.
Yeah, it did. It got him the head coaching job. But he moves to Miami, where I would argue he has much better offensive talent around him than he ever had in Chicago. And he has the stability. He also has this kind of attitude that he knows it doesn't, this is the end. You know, he was ready to retire, and it's kind of this like one last shot type of thing for him. So the pressure's kind of off, and being in Miami is much different than being in Chicago. The expectations are much different. So what do you see from Cutler and Adam Gase? And obviously this is New England's division, but can Miami compete and maybe get into a wild card position?
I think they can. And I think they're better with Jay Cutler than they were with Ryan Tannehill. And I'm not really sure why, other than what you just said. You give a gunslinger a it-doesn't-matter attitude. Dude is arm-talented as they get.
Yeah.
You saw that with the little slide in the pocket, throw it off 1 foot, 20-yard comeback to the right in the first game, like his third throw, and you go, okay, there's like 5 guys that can make that throw.
Yeah, he shouldn't be able to do it.
The difference in Chicago and Miami, they got 3 really good receivers. Mm-hmm. 3 really good receivers. And the defense is better than any defense he played with in Chicago, and he played for a couple good defenses while he was there. I think they can go 9-7, maybe 10-6, but they got to stay healthy, and he's got to mesh with the locker room and really get guys to buy into what he is. His body language is still going to be what it is. Jay Cutler.
Smoking Jay.
Exactly. But having that relationship with Adam Gase, I'm a big believer in quarterbacks and head coaches, especially ones that call plays, having that kind of relationship. I can see him being okay. They're going to be in a lot of games. They're really explosive. Jay Ajayi, they can run it. They can throw
fantastic.
It.
He's fantastic.
they can do a lot of things. I mean, it's definitely New England's division, but I think Miami's going to be there pushing for a wild card in the AFC.
I mean, I don't have the Jets or Buffalo competing at all, but does 9-7 or 10-6, do you think that gets you in the playoffs in a wild card
I think it's
going to
be close. I think there might be, and really the kicker is the AFC West. I think you might have three teams come out of the, out of the West that could hold them out, because if they go 9-7, I think it's probably a game away. But I can see them going 9-7. I've got them 8-8, 9-7. Maybe if they get hot, they can make that 10-6 push and get in there.
All right, New England. What do we say that's critical of New England? Because at this point, I'm ready to pretty much pick the teams. And in the NFC, there's a lot more competitiveness. But in the AFC, I'm ready to go, okay, circle, New England, move forward. Why am I wrong?
New England sent their season tickets. They included the playoffs, including the AFC Championship at home, in their season ticket package. That ought to tell you how they feel about their season. I have to agree. I think they might be better than they were a year ago. They were definitely beatable last year, and I don't think they should have won the Super Bowl. I think we all agree on that.
Absolutely.
But you add Brandon Cooks to that receiving core. Dwayne Allen is a guy nobody's talking about, but a really solid tight end. And Gronk's back healthy, who missed most of last year. But Dwayne Allen does a lot of stuff. He's more of that H-back. You can move him around. They're going to get creative with that. That's going to free Gronk up to really be more of a receiving tight end and not have to do a lot of the heavy load blitzing, or not blitzing, but blocking. And Brandon Cooks takes the top off the defense. They haven't really had a guy like that since Randy Moss.
No.
So,
and New England rarely goes out and, like, gets their guy. You know, they rarely – Bill Belichick, most of his receivers and most of his offensive talent is plug and play. They rarely go out and go snatch a guy, which it just makes –
But they have to give up a ton to get him. It's not like they gave up first-round picks or another starter to get him.
And Cooks is a top-tier wide receiver.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's – and then defensively, it's still Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick. You're going to X and O's the other team to death. They're going to change up whatever they need to do week to week. I've got them going 14-2. That's just because I wanted to say 14-2, and I didn't really want to say they could make a run at undefeated, which I think they could do. I don't think they want to do, because I think they learned their lesson last time they did that. I don't see – I think the Steelers could push them in that game that they play in the regular season and maybe in the playoffs.
But. Yeah, that's the only team I see giving them a little push. And we'll get to them eventually, but last year you had Tom Brady not playing in four games. He's back for a full season. Until he proves to me that he's taking a step backwards, I have to believe in him. I mean, I know that every year everybody's looking for him to take this logical, you're 40 years old, you should, father time should make him take a step backwards, but he continues to prove that, I don't know, he's a robot? I don't really have an answer.
Everything there is to do in the NFL, including marry the biggest supermodel on the planet, and he still has a giant chip on his shoulder, which is why he works so hard, takes such good care of himself. And the reason that he's still playing like at this level at 40, I wish I could say something other than I see them being really good, but I just don't.
He defies logic. He's one of the few people in the world that has looked younger and better looking as he gets older. I don't really understand
money
it.
Money does funny things.
Yeah, money does a lot of funny things, and marrying Giselle is also very helpful. The New York Jets, when we talk about moving from one excellence to pretty much the polar opposite, that is the New York Jets, and I know you and I have a soft spot for head coach Todd Bowles. But this is pretty much with this situation from the beginning. It seemed like Todd had his hands tied behind his back. They haven't ever had the talent there. They haven't ever had the quarterback situation figured out. And they just overall have a meddling situation that goes on that we all know never works in the NFL. So what is your assessment of this team? Because I have them in the basement very much the whole season.
Breaks my heart. I had a lot of friends on that staff. Todd Bowles is like a big brother, uncle that I've known my entire life, and did a heck of a job his first year going 10-6. But they've just made the roster worse. And he doesn't have personnel control in that organization. They're just not – defensively, they're really solid. Mm-hmm. If you put that defense with, say, Tennessee's offense, who's kind of conservative, and they're going to be really good.
Yeah.
But they're going to be out there all day because this offense is a dumpster fire waiting to happen. I keep hearing that people in the organization like Hackenberg –
Please
play McCown and give yourselves a chance to win. If they do that and Forte's healthy, I think they have to make a trade before training camp's over with for receiver.
Okay.
All their decent receivers are hurt, and they're out
Quincy
for the year.
Quincy was out for the year.
Yeah, they're not a couple-week things. They have nobody playing receiver. All that being said, I mean, I still see 2-14. If that defense gets a couple extra turnovers on somebody they're playing that's hurt, they could go 4-12, but it's not going to be – It's not going to be pretty.
Does Todd make it through this whole season?
I think he does, because I think enough people that know football realize he's not responsible for that roster.
Yeah.
He's responsible to be the head coach, and he keeps an eye on that defense, which is still really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the owner taking the ambassadorship to Great Britain and not being around all the time, and he's still paying three different coaching staffs, might make him take a step back and go, okay, we'll give it a little time, see if we can, you know, stabilize this. But you can't win the NFL without a quarterback. McCown by far gives them the best chance to win.
Absolutely.
But you drafted Christian Hackenberg in, what, the second round, and with a little bit of a reach, they want to play. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
As somebody who keeps a close eye on the Big Ten as a Nebraska Cornhuskers fan, Christian Hackenberg is not the guy. He's not the guy. All right, we'll talk about the AFC North, the Baltimore Ravens. Tony Jefferson, one of my favorite players from the Cardinals, moves on over there. But the interesting note here is how, I want to say, suspicious the quarterback situation has been over there, because John Harbaugh is, I feel like he's speaking in code, trying to keep this under wraps. And originally it came out, you know, 7 weeks for Flacco. And now I have Breshad Perriman coming out and saying he's gained 30 pounds of muscle and he looks like Agent X or some weird. I'm just very confused because we don't really have any timetable for Flacco. And this team, even with Flacco, I don't think is that good. But without Flacco, I just don't see them winning very much.
They're still the Ravens.
Yeah.
Very, very good organizationally. The opposite of what we just talked about in the New York Jets. Ozzie Newsome, Harbaugh, stability. Replace coordinators that go become head coaches for the last 10 years. They keep running the same defense. They're still really solid on defense. But without Flacco, Ryan Mallett hasn't looked very good in that offense. You mentioned Perriman. Can he step up and be the first-round pick that they took him as a couple years ago and stay healthy? We have no idea. What do they have receiver-wise other than that? Not very much. Offensive line's thin. Running back's thin. You're going to have to outscore the Steelers to win that division, and I don't see them putting up a lot of points. Now, I can see them starting slow for the first 6 weeks and not being able to overcome it. But 2 years ago, they had more injuries than anybody in the league, and you didn't want to play them because they play hard for Harbaugh, and they really still play like the Ravens. You still have Mike Wallace out there on offense. Somebody take the top off and maybe catch a couple big plays here and there. So they're going to play hard. And that defense is going to be good, but I just don't see a ton. I've got them finishing maybe right there with Cincinnati, 7-9, 8-8.
Yeah. I have to ask you this question because it's my favorite question in all of football, and that is the question, is Joe Flacco elite, yes or no?
Elite, no. Really freaking good, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
Aaron Rodgers is elite. Joe Flacco's really good. I think that's
absolutely
the difference.
Yeah. Is Big Ben elite? Absolutely. Andrew Luck elite? Yes. Flacco? No, but he's in that next category of guys that
won
Super Bowls and made a lot of big plays. The thing you get into with these guys is the contract, right? Well, he's just the next guy up.
Yeah.
Stafford's about to blow them all out of the water, and I would say Stafford's elite, but he hasn't won a Super Bowl. He hasn't done anything that Joe Flacco's done, but he's playing in a different organization, different team, right?
Hasn't had a lot of help in Detroit.
Exactly.
You put that guy somewhere else. Stafford's one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league.
And Flacco, to his credit, is never too high. He's a lot like Eli. There's not a lot of emotion, never too high, never too low. He's a great leader on that team. He's quiet, but he shows up every week. And he plays every week a lot like Eli. He's not missing a ton of games. So the fact that he's going to miss a few games, I think, is what's throwing them into a tailspin here of what the heck do we do? Can we survive with Mallett for a couple weeks? How far out is Joe really from coming back? All that we're talking about probably in 8-18, but that's how good they are organizationally. Is a bad year is 7-9, 8-8. They don't dip that far.
Yeah, that's what coaching like John Harbaugh and, like you said, great ownership does for an organization. When we look at Cincinnati, I think this is the year, as painful as it is for me to say because I'm not a fan of him, Joe Mixon is a very talented back. I think this whole – the back system that they've had over the last year, the Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard switching tape, like – back and forth hasn't really worked out in the way that they thought. And I think Joe Mixon comes in and is the guy. I've always been a fan of Andy Dalton. Maybe it's because I play fantasy football and he's always been pretty reliable as a fantasy football quarterback. But he's had moments. And two seasons ago, I remember them coming here and playing one of the best games I've seen live between the Arizona Cardinals and the Cincinnati Bengals. What a game. But what do you see from this team? And I think this is the Steelers division, but can Cincinnati compete at all?
They can, but they're such a hard team to figure out. Mm-hmm. They are like the Miami Hurricanes with the Jimmy Johnson era getting off the bus. They look different than everybody else. They are the who's who of the SEC for the last 10 years that are still on this team. They are big, they are long, they are fast, they're athletic, they're strong, but something's missing. They made, three playoff appearances 3 years in a row. They're out in the first round. I like Andy Dalton, too. He's a lot like Flacco. He's not elite, but he's really solid. He makes a lot of big plays. A.J. Green back healthy, Mixon. They've got some pieces. The defense is still really solid. All that being said, I kind of have them like the Dolphins, like that 9-7, maybe they can go 10-6 and make a run at the last wild card spot. It's actually really more gut than analysis, because they are really talented, but they haven't proven it. And you only have – your window is only so open in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think their window is closing.
For sure.
And the window was more open a couple years ago, and they didn't do anything with it. That just makes me feel like they're going to take a little bit of a step back.
If you choose the Dolphins or Cincinnati, which one of those teams has a better chance to make it in the playoffs in that wild card spot? Because I think they have a lot of similarities, but – I like both teams, but in my opinion, I give the edge to the Miami Dolphins.
If it was baseball and they had to play a one-game playoff to get in, I'd have to go with the Dolphins, depending on where it was.
Okay.
If it's in December in Baltimore.
Oh, good luck.
Maybe, because that secondary is really good.
Yep.
So they're going to match up decent. I'd probably lean towards Miami, too.
All right. We will talk about the Cleveland Browns. There's a little bit of excitement because you have somebody like Jabril Peppers, who's a game changer, who's looked good in the preseason. But this three-quarterback shenanigans they got going on, much like the Bears, they've never really figured out what they're going to do at the quarterback position. And not knowing and making Brock Osweiler your guy, I don't know if that's the key here for them, but they obviously have a rookie behind him that a lot of people like. But will he sit? Will Kizer be the guy this year? Is Osweiler going to be the guy? Or is Osweiler even good enough to be the guy, in your opinion?
Brock's good enough to be the guy, and I think he's really going to mesh well with Hugh Jackson. That being said, I don't think he's going to play. I think Deshaun's beat him out the last 2 weeks, and I don't think he's ready to play either, but he is a big, pretty, strong arm.
Nice,
you go
toy.
Work him out and go, wow. But he's kind of raw. The great thing is Hugh Jackson's had a lot of success with young quarterbacks. He can make it simple enough for Kizer to have some success and not get really complicated. They're really talented on defense. Offensive line's still pretty good. They got some young receivers they've drafted the last couple years. I think they're better. I think they go 4-12, 5-11. I think they give a lot of people problems because they're going to play really hard. Kizer's going to make mistakes. If you're playing a rookie, you're still not going to be great, but they're going to be fun to watch. I think the fans in Cleveland, if Kizer starts the year and finishes the year, that's another thing. They haven't had a quarterback play 16 games in
Good
a long
Lord.
Time.
No.
I think they'll have a lot of excitement moving forward.
Yeah, there's a lot to look forward to if you're a Browns fan, which I haven't been able to say, but I think that's organizationally. They've obviously had a change over the last few years, how they're drafting, how they're approaching things. Now, I know it's hard to pitch the future when you're a Cleveland Browns fan, but at least you can see pieces. And Kizer, I think, is a piece that you can build around. I don't think Brock is that guy, but we'll see how they decide to use these two going
forward. Yeah, I think Brock is a means to an end for a while. I think he'll find his place. I like him. I think he can
Me
play
too.
In the right system. And I really thought he would mesh well with Hugh. I can see why Deshaun would look better in practice, just big arm, all that kind of stuff. But we didn't even talk about Myles Garrett, the first pick of the draft. I mean, they've got some talents. Greg Williams is the defense coordinator on this team now. If the owner doesn't meddle too much, and we're talking about this again this
That's
week.
That's a big if.
Leave some stability there. Let Hugh Jackson and these guys do their thing. Let Greg do his thing on defense. Don't change the personnel department again. Just settle down. You've drafted some nice guys. Salary cap issues in the past that when they were starting to get good that killed them is kind of gone. They've got it. Just leave it alone. I would think if I'm a Browns fan, and I got a soft spot. They have phenomenal fans.
Yeah.
Phenomenal fans.
We
spent some time there. I would be excited if I was a Browns fan. Even if you do go 4-12, 5-11, there's a lot of exciting players to watch.
I think that's the biggest takeaway of the podcast. If I was a Browns fan, I would be excited. I don't remember the last time anybody said anything positive about the Browns, and I agree with you. I think they have a lot to look forward to if the owner doesn't meddle. The last part of this division is the strongest part, and the part that I see, the only team really that has a true ability to test New England, and that's because of an unbelievable wide receiving core, the second best back in the league behind David Johnson, and one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Big Ben. What do you see from Pittsburgh this year? I see them coasting in this division, but do you think that they can test New England?
I do. I've got them going 13-3, which will put them as the 2 seed, so they'll have to go to New England, the AFC Championship, but I fully expect that to happen. It's a weird dynamic that's happened since the 2010 Super Bowl in Pittsburgh. They are not your dad and granddad Steelers anymore.
No.
The defense is not very good. They're okay. And they still play the same scheme. They're going to make some plays here and there, but they're not great. Offensively, they could break records. I mean, they could be ridiculous. Offensive line's really good. They're stable. They've been together for a while. Le'Veon Bell might have a couple weeks if he actually does show up next Friday. He gets acclimated, but he's a freak if he can stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I like the addition of Connor, who looked really good last week. They've got a little bit more depth there. The receiving core is ridiculous. Martavius Bryant coming back if he's got his head on straight. But it all goes as Big Ben. They're not a defensive team. Run it, you know, we want to win 6-3 and run it 50 times a game. They built this thing around Ben as they should have. And it really is how he goes. If he's standing upright, I've seen him play on a broken foot, a broken nose.
And yeah, that guy's, I mean,
the
freak. Guy's
an absolute freak. He's phenomenal. He is definitely elite in that category. I think that offense could be really good. And they're kind of like the Packers. You're going to have to outscore them to beat them. I don't see a lot of people being able to do that.
What do you see from them defensively? Because I've heard a lot of Tomlin mostly just talking about how they think that they're much better this year than they were last year. And if they want to compete, you know, with the Chiefs, I think, in a tight game last year in the playoffs, they obviously, you know, end up winning that game. But it's, they're going to have to compete with some tough AFC defenses, New England, Denver, Chiefs, some of these other teams that have very, very strong defenses. And you know, when you play in the cold, that offense sometimes in December or January, it's tough. It's tough to win those games, and it's tough to outshoot people when you got to run the ball and play tough, tough defense. So do you see this team defensively taking a step forward? Because I think they need to if they're going to beat New England.
No.
Okay.
I don't see them taking a step forward. I don't see them taking a step back. They're okay. Just not really that talented. They're solid. They got a bunch of solid guys. But there's no more Troy Polamalu and Lawrence Timmons. I mean, Shazier's really good on the inside, but he hasn't been healthy for 16 games. I like T.J. Watt. I think he's going to be exciting for that fan base. He's going to make some plays. He's starting in front of James Harrison now. James is old, but he'll still make some plays here and there. They don't have those playmakers that they had, and it would really get you excited about defense. Now, the whole thing is set up to bend, not break. They're still going to give up 70 yards and a field goal a lot, and that's not going to beat this offense, because this offense, even in December in the cold, you know what's crazy? You go back and think about when Tom Brady really started having success in New England. They changed the field to field turf, because it used to be just horrible grass.
Oh,
Pittsburgh's
yeah.
the worst surface in September in the NFL. In December, it's painted sand.
That's bad.
It doesn't fit what they do anymore.
No.
It used to be an advantage for that defense in the running game.
Interesting they haven't made that change.
I would have made it 2 years ago when I started seeing these guys lighten it up, and you have all these receivers, Antonio Bryant, and all this kind of stuff. That could be a detriment if they're playing at home, but I don't think they get the one seed. I think they got to go to New England. But you still got to outscore them, and Ben can put up 30 on you in December, even if the weather's bad.
Man, oh, man, I hope that sounds like a great AFC championship game. But we got to get through 16, 17 weeks of football before we get there, which I'm very much excited about. The quick story is I talked to, which was so funny that we're talking about, Pittsburgh's defense. So I had the opportunity to talk to Mean Joe Green this summer at a Gridiron Greats event.
One of my favorite people of all time.
Oh, just very sharp, remembers every single play he ever played it. I mean, talk about football knowledge. I could have sat there for hours and talked to him. But it was interesting to hear his opinion on what Pittsburgh looks like now, because like you said, it's so different than what was going on back then. And he actually really enjoys watching what they're doing now and thinks it's almost better for the game because people love so much what watching offense looks like. You know what I'm saying?
I understand too well what you're saying.
Yeah.
We really were the ones that started this. My dad was the offensive coordinator through three of those Super Bowls.
Oh, I know.
And they hated the fact that we threw it all over the place. Well, he's not the personnel guy. You keep drafting receivers and Big Ben, we're going to build it around this. Now, they had some really good defenses in those days, which they're not anymore. But if you're a Steelers fan, how can you not be excited? You don't have to win everything 9-6 because you ran it 174 yards and 50, you know, attempts that game.
No.
They're not that anymore.
No.
They are really exciting to watch.
Well, trust me, as a Bears fan who's been preached to her entire life that the only way that you can win is running the ball and playing good defense, well, when you don't have a good defense, it's time to start thinking about other ways to win football games, especially when there's teams who are building good enough defenses, and in your own division you have elite offenses. And at the end of the day, in every sport, people like watching people score.
Absolutely.
That's just sports. That's what people like. But we will, Jake, how can everyone follow you on social media so they can get your hot takes throughout the week?
Hopefully I'll tune it down a little bit from last week. Jake B. Arians on Twitter, and I think it's the same on Instagram, either Jake Arians or Jake B.
Yeah, you'll find him. If you type in Arians, I think you're the top one because we all know your dad's not the social media savant that you are necessarily.
I think he pops up. He's got a lot more followers than I have.
He does, but he's not quite as active. And you can follow me at @_sports. And if you're looking for last week's episode, you can go on FanRagSports.com and be sure to subscribe to the Sports Page on iTunes. For Jake Arians, I'm Paige DeMakos. This has been The Sports Page.